hope you have all had a great weekend. The school season is starting. This morning, it was a lot of heavy traffic, so we need to get used to that in the coming weeks. In the coming months.
A lot of months, I guess. Yeah. Till June, July, right? Usually June, July has summer vacations.
And also the winter vacations as well, yeah.
But I guess soon they'll have their National Day break. I've seen the school calendar is very disrupted here.
Oh.
Ramadan break, winter break.
Right.
So did you have That's those in your kids. Days?
Yeah, but it's not too many days. So Ramadan would still come in.
I guess the people going to school, for them it's not too many days.
Yeah. So for our top stories today, we have UAE's foreign trade reaches new heights, UAE tops global FDI rankings, Saudi Arabia's GDP expected to grow, and Dubai's short-term rentals soars. So first of all, the UAE the foreign trade in the UAE reaches big numbers this year in the first
half of 2024.
Yes. So can you tell us a bit about the story?
It's basically $1.4 trillion. That's not a small amount. It's a very big amount. So UAE has done $1.4 trillion of foreign trade in the first half of 2024 only. And according to His Highness, the ruler of Dubai, they expect to finish the year on $3 trillion. So
yes.
By half year, they've done 1.4. They just need to do 1.6 more. Mm-hmm. And I think with the season coming of all the trade shows and everything coming in the winters, they will hopefully achieve it. He also said that they targeted $4 trillion every year in foreign trade by 2031. But we've seen that 2031 is still six, seven years away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already near the $3 trillion mark. So it will be a very good sign if they do it.
Hopefully
$3
trillion. They'll reach it before the expected mark.
UAE always does that.
Yeah, and another interesting fact is that the number recorded in the first half of this year is higher than a whole year prior to COVID. So very increasing rates in foreign investment in the country. And like you said, it might even surpass the number by 2031, which is their target. So,
And out of the 1.4 trillion, the good thing was, which UAE has always been trying, they're trying to increase their non-oil growth, their non-oil industries. And it's very difficult. Again, they're very heavily dependent on oil. But
they're moving away from that.
Yeah, but they're moving away. And 25% growth was seen in non-oil sector. So out of 1.4 billion, a 25% growth of non-oil sector gave them this amount. So basically, it's not only oil. UAE, Middle East is not only oil. They have a lot of other stuff. There's a lot of categories which we were reading. It's not only like clothes or everything.
No, no. It includes gold, jewelry, even perfumes.
That was the funny part.
Yeah, we thought it was very interesting that the UAE is exporting a lot of perfumes from the country. And I think it makes sense because of, you know, the dukhun or the oud. And so my I'm half Brazilian and my family always asks from... asks for perfume from the UAE, and I guess that's echoed by other people who keep buying perfume from the country, and it's relatively cheap compared to, you know, all these luxury brand perfumes.
Local perfume industry, I guess, is very big.
Yes, probably, I'm guessing. And another export also included aluminium. And that was a collective growth of 36.8% compared to the same period last year. Also, re-export saw a significant growth, reaching 345.1 billion dirhams, and that's a 2.7% increase from 2024, with telephone devices and diamonds leading the way. So,
nice.
Yeah, telephone.
So it's very weird sometimes when you think about UAE, you only think about oil or
of course.
You think about tourism. Or some other things. Maybe real estate, but all these industries are booming. That shows that they've diversified so much. Because if you see the history of Dubai and UAE, it's mostly pearl trade. Everyone talks about, oh, there were pearl trades happening, dhow boats were going, finding pearls and selling. So now the jewelry part is it's good. They're mm-hmm. going back to their roots, I guess.
Yes, that's true.
So let's move on to the next story.
Yes, so the UAE tops global FDI rankings for 2023, surpassing Montenegro and Costa Rica. So the UAE was the top performer in FDI relative to its GDP. That's very important. It's relative to its GDP. And it saw the largest increase in foreign direct investment projects in 2023. So that's a number of around 316 projects, most notably in business services, in tech, real estate, and industrial equipment. Montenegro and Monaco were also new entrants in the top rankings, with Montenegro placing second, Costa Rica third, and then Monaco fourth.
So I think it matters because UAE, time and again, is trying to build its market, trying to promote itself as a business hub. And Dubai mainly is now nearly called the business hub of mm-hmm. the world. So what is happening is a lot of people are setting up offices here. So foreign direct investment comes in the form of real estate because they're renting offices, buying offices. And apart from that, a lot of business sectors, I read somewhere that is business services also. So it's not just that they're buying real estate, they're doing work actually there. It's not just flipping the real estate market, buying it for 1 million, selling it for 2 million. Mm-hmm. They're also working there. They're also bringing expertise from outside the country. And mainly they're bringing money outside, from the outside, and they're investing it in Dubai. And obviously they're making money, but eventually the country is getting a lot of foreign investment because of all those businesses. So this report basically also shows that smaller economies, I never thought that I'll read the name of Costa Rica or Montenegro or Monaco.
Monaco is like the richest country. Yeah. It is a very small country.
I guess it's easy to manage small country.
Possibly.
Yeah. So, but seeing these names, it shows that UAE is trying to take the script from not only European countries, not only for America, the big names that we see whenever mm-hmm. we talk about economy. They're trying to take a leaf out of the book of the smaller nations who've done good for themselves.
Yes.
And that's a very good strategy. It's not just one country that you focus on and you want to become them or like get inspiration from them. You're taking inspiration from everyone mm-hmm. in the world. And whoever is doing good, you're just taking a leaf out. And you'll be like, okay, let's do it as well.
And this ranking is the Greenfield FDI ranking, which means it's ranking first
projects.
In sustainable investments. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Greenfield is basically how sustainable projects, sustainability-related projects are invested into. Mm-hmm. So Greenfield investment was that. So UAE is, again, we've continued the year of sustainability in the UAE. And we're seeing the fruits of it mm-hmm. at the end of the day.
Exactly. So moving on to Saudi Arabia. So
right next to us.
Yes. So Saudi Arabia's GDP is expected to rebound with 1.7% growth this year. It's expected to grow by 1.7% this year and then 4.7% in 2025. Its real GDP shrank by 0.4%. Year on year in the second quarter because they moved away from their oil related activities, and they also are, you know, the whole vision, Saudi vision, is to move away from oil related activities. So this is expected. And their 2023 GDP contracted by 0.8% after a 7.5% increase in 2022. So, like I said, the recession was partly caused by a deliberate 8.5% reduction in oil production.
So, it's just not that oil production is mainly focused on why they want the oil, less oil production. It's not because they wanted to move away from it. There's some geopolitical problems as well.
Right.
We always talk about the Fed cut, mm-hmm. The US Federal Reserve's cut. That is also causing problem. The prices, rising prices of oil. A lot of factors contribute to it, but mainly for Saudi Arabia, they're trying to move away from oil. Every Middle Eastern country right now, which has entered the developed market, they are called the developed countries, UAE. Even Egypt is in a bit of a problem right now, but UAE and Saudi are trying to move away. The story before that sets the agenda for us to discuss Saudi Arabia. That is why we moved here. Mm-hmm. So it's good that they're moving away from oil. It's good they're exploring other markets. We did a story on Friday, I guess, that the assets under investment, assets under management, AUM of Saudi Arabia has grown to 957 million. So they have a lot of assets outside of the country as well, mm-hmm. which are reaping rewards. It's not just the Saudi Vision 2030. It's also that, but mainly it's because of the good policies.
Right.
These leaders, what I've seen across the world, if you read about leadership, they're not reactive, they're proactive. Mm-hmm. And that is what I love about this region. And that is what everyone is now looking at. The lens is that they're not reactive. They don't think about things when they have happened already. Mm-hmm. They already have planned it.
They're one step ahead.
Yeah, basically. They're always one step ahead. Yeah. So it's good. UAE, we're talking about it. Saudi's GDP saw the expected growth, which was done by IMF. They said it's supposed to grow by 3.something%, but they then revised it and reduced it. And there was a lot of bad sentiment in the investors that why is this happening? But in Saudi's minds, it's very clear. Move away from oil.
Right.
Diversify your portfolio. Invest in other things. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds me they're trying to open a Louvre in Saudi Arabia also.
Oh.
So yeah. So I just read it in the morning. They're trying to. They've nearly finalized the deal for the Louvre. That'll be a good addition. Mm-hmm. Tourism, everything.
Yeah,
They will move away, and they'll move away very nicely, and the world will see.
And we also discussed this last week where Saudi Arabia introduced new laws and revised existing laws yeah. to make the business environment fair for both Saudis and non-Saudis. And that is, of course, a very attractive mindset for the potential investors to come into the country and also have a very equal space with the Saudis, as well as very easy access to registering your company without having to go through a whole long process. It's all in an app, basically, and it takes it's more quick than, you know, whatever, all these paperworks and stuff. So I think that also
yeah, you see,
will help the economy a lot.
We always talk about it. Whenever you're trying to set up a business in the UAE, it hardly takes 7 to 10 working days. And you can set up a business, the license is there, the name is there, everything is done in 7 to 10 days. Because they've streamlined the process, everything is online, you mm-hmm. just upload your papers and everything, select a name, select a category, it's done.
Register.
Saudi Arabia is also doing that because foreign investment is one of the biggest earning sources for any country. Taxes, exports, and foreign investment. So let's see, Saudi Arabia is doing a lot. I don't know if we'll be here by 2030, Saudi Vision 2030, but we will, if we are here, we'll celebrate their success.
That sounds
and do
ominous. What do you mean if we're here?
If we're here, if we're, maybe we've moved to Saudi.
Right.
It's growing so astronomically. Just kidding. To be honest, Saudi Arabia, UAE, these countries are setting the tone for the whole world to follow. Mm-hmm. Getting a plan. Recently, US elections are on the horizon. Everyone is talking about them. There's a plan by both presidential candidates. We've seen over the decades, those plans are never completed. You talk about any administration in the US, the plans, mm-hmm. they say, oh, we'll create this much jobs, they never achieve it. These countries, they say we will do this and they do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's unheard of in the history of humankind. It's very, very rare that you find countries which plan something and it
right.
happens.
Yeah.
These countries are making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's miraculous. That's surprising for the whole world. How are they doing it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question that everyone is asking.
Yes, so let's move on to our final story. Moving back to Dubai. So Dubai short-term rentals surged 30%, transforming the real estate market. It's seen a demand year over year. And these areas include Business Bay, Jumeirah Village Circle, and Palm Jumeirah. And the key drivers are the rise in luxury travel, as well as a demand for spacious accommodations. So 30% increase, that's a big number for short-term rentals. And Majid was telling me earlier that people are more attracted to short-term because, you know, tourists may come here for a few months, but don't want to really go through all this all this hassle of like signing a contract for a whole year when you're only here for maybe 6 months. So short-term rental markets.
So short-term rental market, mainly it's for tourists who come here or for business people who come to the region for like 2 months, 3 months. But this rise of 30% is mostly because of a lot of people who are now opting for it while living here. Mm-hmm. The residents basically who have an Emirates ID, who can register on Diva, Seva, ADDC, they can register on that, get a good house, but they're trying to move away from it. And the funny part is that a lot of people who have invested in a house are renting it out. They're also trying to get short-term rentals because the gain is much more. For example, a house, if it goes for 60,000 dirhams a year for an annual contract where you get four checks or three checks, for short-term rentals, they earn nearly 75 to 80,000 on the same house in the year. So it's good for them. So what people are now doing is not they're moving away to short-term rentals, the people who own the houses. And the people who want to live in those houses, they want to also move away from the responsibility of paying the bills and this and that. They give a wholesome amount. They give like 6,000-7,000 per month, whatever the asking price is. It includes Diva and everything. Obviously, it's regulated. Everything is written in law about the short-term rentals. And then we all know about sharing spaces also. So sharing space, a house owner has to give in writing that you have, you can... break my house into smaller parts, not break, like build smaller partitions and rent it out. So it's a very big market. It's not just a small market. I'll give you a small example. I one of my friends recently moved here. For the first 3 months, he lived in a partition. I talked to the partition guy, the guy who owns the place. He's like, this apartment belongs to someone else. I buy the apartment from him or rent it out for a year on premium. So if the going rent is 160,000. It's a big apartment, 3 BHK. So I gave him 180. So the guy is happy. This guy sells it out in partitions to people. Those people are happy because they don't have to care about anything. This guy is also happy.
Right.
So yeah, this whole market is booming. And let's see, there is need for more regulatory control, I think.
There have been recently regulatory.
Yeah, we talked about Dubai banned a lot of 10. Nearly 10 landlords or owners of houses because the partition sizes were not as per the law. There is a law. There is a whole law for the partition size that every partition should be this much amount, this square by this square. So everything is written down. People sometimes don't follow it. The way,
but they get fined. So.
They get fined. So yeah, this is good about this country. Everything has a fine attached to it. And it's such a big fine that you always be like, okay, let's not worth the hassle. Let's not break the rules.
Yeah, and they're also expected to have more visitors in the coming months because of the winter.
Yeah.
Summers here are kind of brutal. So they're expecting to see more people coming in, you know, in the winter months. And also the advances in technology and a rise in remote work may possibly boost this demand for short-term rentals. So investors, again, should ensure that they comply with the regulations, leverage technology, and consider sustainability for to maximize returns.
One of the biggest examples is Airbnb. They're like short-term rentals. So that market is booming. Hopefully... people will follow the rules. That's the only concern we always have here in this region. Sometimes we will obviously like make a shorter space or do something wrong, which is against the law. So just follow the laws and you're allowed to do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yesterday also, I was watching a TikTok video. A guy was in the car. I don't remember his name exactly, but he's an entrepreneur in Dubai. And he said very nice thing that Dubai is not for the weak-hearted. Dubai is very competitive. But Dubai is built around the idea of doing business. If you're a hardcore business enthusiast, you want to do a business, start your setup here, be competitive. You can't just lay back and think, oh, I'll get the money. So it's very competitive, but it is built around success and growth.
Yeah.
Come, invest, be competitive, earn the rewards and enjoy the rewards.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the show. Join us tomorrow and every weekday at 10 a.m. You can find us on the streaming platforms such as Spotify and Rami and Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. We also have a daily newsletter, so make sure to subscribe to that. It's a daily newsletter. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.